and you are listening to Open Mic Friday, Law and Gospel, on this August the 8th in the year of our Lord 2014. And unlike the previous days this week, I'm all by myself, Tom Baker, and willing to answer any questions that you might have of a theological nature or any comments you might want to make about what we spoke of this week, including the interview yesterday with Chris Ann about California beliefs and also that movie that she had done. And our numbers here in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. I've got a number of items to deal with, though, in between our calls, so without further ado, I'll begin. You know, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of which this radio station is at its headquarters on Lindbergh and Highway 44, we have certain teachings that kind of go against the thinking of the world these days. We're against abortion. We're also against gay marriage, homosexuality, and we are against those because the Word of God is so clear on them. And unfortunately, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has got quite a liberal reputation, and often in its religion section, it does not print anything of morality from the Scripture, but instead from the world. This past week, I'm going to be talking about two women pastors, if we have time. I'll just start with the first one. Her name is Reverend Pamela Dolan. She serves as rector of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Town and Country. And she wrote an article entitled, Youth Finds Transformation in Writing. Well, what it's all about is this youth from Kirkwood High School was voted as prom king, and he's a homosexual. Yes, he is gay. And the whole article is about as opposite from the Word of God as one can get. Well, we ought not be surprised that a woman pastor cannot understand God's Word, because if she did, she wouldn't be a woman pastor. Because God's word is clearly against women being ordained. She talks about that this young man, as he came out, got help provided by a therapist that was transformative. Now, I can only imagine what kind of therapist he went to, probably somebody who believes in evolution, obviously somebody who doesn't believe that homosexuality is a horrible lifestyle, and from God's point of view, is an abomination. And she says the support of his classmates, teachers, has been transformative. Now, she met with him, found out that he is the son of conservative Baptist ministers. I can only imagine how sad they are. And here's what she says. What I took away from meeting with him is, no matter how frightening the prospect, there is liberation and joy in living openly as the people God created us to be. When you're a kid in high school, you might not always be sure who that is, but being willing to find out is an act of incredible courage and grace. Now, we don't disagree that you need to find out that you are a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's every one of us. But to talk about it as being an act of incredible courage and grace, that's like saying, well, I find out that I love to commit adultery against my wife. That's the kind of person I am. That's the way I was born. I don't like keeping vows to another person. Nobody's going to control me. And then that person is voted as something really good in the country because it's an incredible courage and grace to come out and say how sinful you are? No, it's true that it takes incredible courage and grace to speak about how sinful you are, but then you move to repentance. See, here's the problem. A lot of people are talking to me about how terrible the world is getting, that more and more people think that deviant homosexual behavior is okay, gay marriage is okay. Well, the problem is that the church needs to be much stronger in helping our lay people to equip themselves in being able to speak out against these abominations that occur in the church. But, of course, when you get so-called individuals who pretend that they're pastors as women speaking about that this is incredible courage and grace, and also saying that what he is doing is the way that God created him to be, this is really an act of blasphemy against God. It is exactly what Adam and Eve did. They blamed God for their problem. How so? Well, God said, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." They did. And when Adam was asked, "Why'd you do that?" he blames God. "The woman you gave to me." Eve blames God. "The serpent you allowed into the Garden of Eden." So it's not odd that we'll find false teachers who are dressed in the garb of pretending to be pastors. Now, she goes on and says, "Perhaps Ian and his generation are better prepared to deal with that messiness with curiosity and compassion, rather than the judgment and conflict that have marked so much of our public discourse. I hope so." What she doesn't realize is she's bringing judgment not only against God, but against every true Christian who recognizes that abortion, homosexual activity, etc., are abominations before Almighty God. I'll tell you, if there is one Bible you ought to get, it's the Lutheran Study Bible. I'm just going to read a section that they have here in regard to homosexuality. It's on the basis, first of all, of Romans. I'm going to read the Romans passage first about how, because of their unbelief, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Now, it goes on, but verse 32 of chapter 1 of Romans really describes women pastors who are, of course, for gay marriage. "Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." And that's precisely what we see here. That kind of item is occurring. But the Lutheran Study Bible says, "Starting with homosexuality, Paul indicts all people for doing things that destroy society. Everyone," and that includes me, folks, "is born with a depraved mind that leads to every kind of wickedness. Homosexual behavior is no more damning than gossip, greed, or jealousy. Those who commit such things will face God's judgment unless they repent. The one who practices homosexual behavior will face the same judge as a gossip, slanderer, or liar. Homosexuality stands first in the list for the apostle because it so clearly demonstrates how people rebel against the Creator's order. Christians should abhor the sin of homosexual behavior as they abhor all sins, but at the same time, Christians should see homosexuals as people for whom Christ shed his precious blood. God wants us to recognize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A homosexual, like any other sinner, needs to hear God's word of law and gospel apply to his or her life with a goal of repentance and faith." That is just beautiful. I really appreciate the editors of the Lutheran Study Bible. You can get that from Concordia Publishing House. And that item I just read was on page 1911, right in the middle of the Romans 1 passage. Do not look down on homosexuals as though you think you are better than they are. No, we're all sinners in need of that help. But I tell you, when you have got so-called pastors giving approval to those kinds of things, this is really sad. We're going to go to our phone lines right now at 821-0850 or long distance, a free toll, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Philip. Hi, Philip. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Very good, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about a sermon I heard this past Sunday. My wife and I and my two adult daughters and two grandchildren were invited to the youngest, our youngest grandbaby, baptism at a Catholic church. It's within 80 miles of St. Louis here. And her mother wanted us to come and also hear the sermon and things. And the Catholic priest, he started his sermon, and he was talking about the feeding of the 5,000. And he says, I know you all heard about that the bread, you know, multiplied, and so did the fish. And he says, but I'm more inclined to think that when they seen that Jesus was sharing, that they pulled out of their backpacks their own bread and their own fish. And he didn't no sooner get that out than he started, you know, coughing and said he had something in his throat. And then he tried again to preach, and then he couldn't. And he eventually said, well, I need to stop preaching. And he stopped right there and then went on to do other things, but never coughed again. I thought that was unique. But does the Catholic Church, would they agree with that? I wouldn't think they would, but what he was saying.
The Roman Catholic Church, there are certain theologians that would agree with that. And in fact, I was taught that at the seminary in 1971. I remember the professor who taught that to me, that once you believe that there is no supernatural understanding of Scripture, that you have to redo all the miracles to make them plain, then there are so-called scholars and theologians that attempt to do that. For example, I believe it's the same book that talks about when Jesus took the demons out of the pigs, that actually what happened is the man was an epileptic. He wasn't demon-possessed, and he went into an epileptic seizure that scared the pigs and made them run over the mountain into the water and die. So I was told time and time again, I was told by one professor that when the Israelites went over the Red Sea, they went on boats because the Red Sea was only really a reed sea. It was only about 6 inches of water. But the Egyptians were unable to follow them because their chariots sank in the mud. And I remember mentioning, well, isn't that a miracle that all those Egyptians died in 6 inches of water? But I was not well received there. You need to understand you have two points of view among theologians, those who believe the historical grammatical method, which means you read the Scripture as it says, and you don't put your interpretation, and those who have the historical critical method, where it's kind of like reading an editorial in the Post-Dispatch. You don't think it's gospel truth. If you disagree with them, you change your point of view. We do know, if you take a look now at the new Roman Catholic Catechism, that not only do they believe that, from our point of view, unbelieving Muslims can be saved if they're good enough, but they're also very much into evolution rather than creation. So it doesn't surprise me at all that this Roman Catholic priest is saying what he is saying. And pretty soon, what happens is people say, well, look it, I cannot depend on the Word of God. Because the Word of God says that Jesus actually rose physically from the dead for my sins. Until they hear a prof that I had who said, no, he only rose spiritually. His body is still in the grave. And for me to think that if his body is found, that I would lose my faith, he called me a bibliolater, that I believed the Bible was my idol rather than Jesus. So this is very common, and for a priest to say that is just horrendous, as any pastor. There's lots of Lutheran pastors. Just go to an ELCA congregation, ELCA, and not only are they pro-abortion, pro-women ordination, pro-homosexuality, but many of them use this historical critical method in denouncing the clear passages of Scripture.
that's sad. I didn't know that the Roman Catholic Church as a whole would condone that, but that is sad. So thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. The point I simply want to make is that Roman Catholic priest will not be removed from his priesthood because of that kind of a sermon. They just will not do that. All right, let's go on and speak with Herman. Hi, Herman, you're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker, your previous comment about the Catholic topic, and that's their current catechism that is post-Vatican II in
yes.
play. And you're quoting from that St. Louis newspaper article, no doubt that person who was quoted there doesn't believe in the six-day creation, that God of the triune God could do it, doesn't believe in the miracles, just as the deliverance of the Israelites through the Red Sea, doesn't believe Jesus was born of the Virgin, that he did any of the miracles, and that he didn't rise from the dead, he's still in the grave. And yet they're going to talk about this lifestyle of homosexuality as something God made, when they, whatever notion they have of God, certainly isn't anything that you can bring out of the Bible if they deny it completely. And it's like the trend you see among that thought is that you're making the homosexual perspective sort of an arbiter over Scripture, church, and society.
Yes, this Reverend Pamela Dolan, that this article, I do agree with you that she is an evolutionist, because a previous article said that, and there are some other things that, but I'm not sure I have the evidence to agree with you that she doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead bodily. I haven't ever read her saying that, and she does talk about the forgiveness of sins, but she is a historic critic, which means she denies a lot of the Scripture as we would understand it, but I want to be careful that we don't put her in a position or in a situation where she is more unbelieving than we have the actual evidence for. But this comes under faith perspectives. And when I saw that, I crossed out the word faith and I put in unbelief perspectives. This is from the perspective of those who do not believe the God's word. And the idea that you can say that a homosexual, that's the way God created them to be, in light of the many passages in the Bible in both the Old and New Testament against homosexual behavior, that is just ridiculous.
Yes, there's certainly no grounds for it in Scripture at all. It's just here, braggadocio, talking to say that.
I didn't hear that. Is the what?
It's just sheer boasting to say that.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, well said. Thank you very much for your call. And we're just going to go down the line here, and we're going to talk with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, St. Louis University, which is a Catholic university, they do have an official gay club on their campus. And they also have a special place or a meeting place so that Muslims can carry out their own religious services. So they do, they're pretty liberal as far as like that goes.
I'm not sure I would say that they're allowing a place for other denominations or religions to conduct their worship services as being liberal. I can see that that could happen at it, because you don't want to say to somebody, well, we're not going to allow you to even worship here. We have the freedom to worship, and if they're paying for the room and such, I don't have a problem at a university. But the first point you made, official gay club, we have actually a Lutheran university. Fortunately, it is not officially affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's called Valparaiso, and they have a gay club there also, and that's really sad.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so very much for calling. Anybody else can call. Our numbers here are 821-0850, St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727, and we're going to be talking with David. David, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a three-second question. What was the name of the movie that Chris Ann was talking about yesterday?
One Hit from Home.
One Kit.
Hit, H-I-T.
Oh, Hit.
Yeah, it's all about a baseball. a fellow who gets injured. He's a wonderful baseball player, but he gets injured, and then he gets in a fight in a bar because he's so mad, and the judge says, well, either you go to jail or you can go to this college and coach their baseball team, and he does that, and he's not very happy about it. But Chris Ann is the main actress, and some of the other fellows I got to know and talk to, and it's just the most Lutheran Christian movie I've ever seen done by a group that are not Lutheran.
When and where will it come out or be seen?
It came out 2 years ago. I believe over 100,000 copies have been sold, and it was at Walmart.
Okay.
But all you need to do is Google One Hit From Home.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon sells it. eBay sells it. So it's wonderful. In fact, I had 800 copies, and I'm down to 3. So everywhere I go, people are purchasing it because they just love to talk to their youth about it. And it's something that we're really happy at. One Hit From Home.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it until you talked to Chris Ann yesterday, so thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. God bless. Chris Ann Brunsman, actor from California, former member of my congregation here in St. Louis, has been in a number of items. I did this last night because I needed to get her photo. Chris Ann and then Brunsman, Brunsmann. And it will tell you a lot about her, what movie she's been in, her brother. I meant to mention that. But she, I think, is coming back Tuesday because we had a wonderful discussion after the program. And she was saying when she's out in California, people are really asking questions and she wishes somebody would be answering them. And it's not really happening out there. So what we're going to try and do is take a look at the questions on Tuesday and see what kind of answers that a proper Lutheran pastor would be giving to them. And we might even be starting a blog and a place that people can start going to get these answers. So we're going to use Chris Ann to help us. Let's continue down the line, and we'll talk with Troy. Hi, Troy. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Troy in Collinsville. How you doing, buddy?
Very good, sir.
Hey, I got one for you. I ran across a very distinguished longtime Baptist minister in Pontoon Beach, Illinois this week, and 36 years in the ministry, and I was doing a little job for him, and I asked him, I said, isn't it amazing some of these churches don't baptize infants? Oh, well, we don't do that. I said, well, the Bible says that the whole households were baptized, that they went into the whole villages and towns and baptized everybody. Oh, no, there was no babies in any of the houses that they went to.
I know. I know. Even though God says, go and baptize all nations. And there's a man, just wonderful, from the Near East. His name is Joachim Jeremias. And he knows the Aramaic. And he has done 2 papers on how nations would include children. And
right.
Therefore, if when Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem and had Jesus, remember why they were going there? Because of the census. And I guarantee you that Jesus was counted as part of the nation.
Well, the question, the answer I'm looking for is, I was listening to you recently about biblical rumors in the day, with, you know, they were spreading that, oh, you don't have to believe in the body and blood, that doesn't, or you don't have to believe in the baptism. Would these people be considered false prophets then? By doing that, by saying that?
Yes, the church, and that's part of the reason why the creeds came into existence, because the church wanted to have a summary of what they believed. And every time you had a new controversy, you had first the Apostles' Creed, then the Nicene Creed, and finally the Athanasian Creed, when there was a big controversy as to whether or not the Trinity actually existed. So that's one of the ways it was done. And I tell you, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, we do follow what are referred to as the three ecumenical creeds. And by the way, you can tell your Baptist friend that the majority of Christians belong to denominations that not only baptize children, but are also opposed to women ordination. That's the majority of Christians belonging right to those denominations.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you so very much for calling. And, well, I think we're going to have to end here. We're out of time. But I never did get to the second point I wanted to make. I'll leave that for another time. Another woman pastor making a point about it's, you know, disrespectful to go into a nursing home to tell people about Jesus. I'm not kidding. It's in the Post-Dispatch. We'll talk about it maybe next Friday, because this coming week, Monday will be about the Bible studies and the sermons for the following Sunday. Tuesday, I believe Chris Ann will be back. Wednesday, we're going to have Wes Reimnitz. Thursday, things are all mixed up next week. We hope to talk to Henry Gehrke about coming in to talk about the hymn assigned for that Sunday in the following week. And then Friday will be open mic. But if you want to get a hold of me, just go to my email address, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And the word "and" is spelled out. That's lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm preaching at Emmanuel Olivet this week. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.